On behalf of the family of Margaret Vallone, I'd like to thank each one of you for being here this morning. Though there are tears of loss for Margaret, as she will be greatly missed, we can also find wonderful comfort from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For the Christian, there is no greater joy than to be in the presence of the one that loves us like no one else can, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today is not a day of mourning, but it's a day of celebration. It's not a day of regret, but truly a day of rejoicing. Today we come to remember and celebrate the beautiful, precious life of Margaret Vallone. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we gather here today to remember the precious life of Margaret Vallone. We also gather to say goodbye one last time and celebrate the life that she enjoyed here on earth, and to thank you, God, for each precious moment and memory that remain with us. We pray that your peace and your presence would be upon us and upon the Vallone family and friends during this time. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you would stand with me and take a hymn book. Margaret loved singing. She loved music. And we are going to sing some songs, not only of rejoicing, but songs of reflection. Turn to, please, number 617, Near to the Heart of God. We're going to sing all three verses. Seated.
23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What is there to say that you don't already know about Margaret? Her life was an open book, or two, or three. If you haven't heard her stories in the beauty salon or in her books, you probably know them from her column or from being one of her friends or relatives. Even so, there are a few stories that I would like to share from my own personal experience. She also asked me at the end to make people laugh with her stories. I've had the privilege of hearing Margaret's wit and wisdom and seeing her antics and accomplishments firsthand as an employee for 10 years and then as a friend for the following 32 years. Marg hired me straight out of beauty school when I was 18 years old. Right from the start, I could see that she was a human dynamo. There was always a project, a campaign, a committee, a commitment, or something else she was working on in addition to doing hair in the salon. Yet even amid the hubbub, there was a loving family atmosphere in the shop. Russell, Margaret, and their son Dan really cared about the women who worked at Marvell's. They thought of us as friends and family, not just employees. There was a lot of laughter and fun with the customers, too. Margaret would dress up for Halloween or tell jokes or make up crazy games to play in the shop or at Christmas parties. Margaret and Russ were a team, which at times was like watching the Lucy Show. For example, Russell had a very unusual sneeze. It sounded like he would say, "Who is she?" And Margaret would yell from across the room, "That's what I want to know." Sometimes Marg was so busy that she said her motto was go, 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 and Russ would say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." She'd often recruit me and the other girls at the shop to take part in her schemes, dreams, and projects during the bicentennial and sesquicentennial, or by doing haircuts, demonstrations in high schools and colleges at the college, or by modeling wigs and makeup along with clothes from Ricky's Boutique at the Vineyard Restaurant during the lunch hour. You never knew what to expect while working in the salon. One day, while doing a customer's hair, Margaret noticed something at the bottom of her slacks. She began pulling on it, and the thing kept getting longer and longer. We all looked in amazement as she finally pulled out a pair of pantyhose. Without missing a beat, she said, "For my next trick." Margaret was never afraid to laugh at herself. One of my favorite stories is when she was planning a trip to Italy. It was a beautiful day when she went to the AAA to make the final arrangements. The woman in the office commented on how nice Margaret looked that day. She thanked her and went home and looked in the mirror. That's when she saw the dish towel slung across her shoulder. After she told the story to others, she said, "Now if I want a new outfit, all I have to do is change my towel." One time we began talking about faith healing and anointing people with oil. I asked Marg, "Do you think they used olive oil when they prayed over the person?" And she said, "Yes, but it was always extra virgin." Marg had an old computer that someone had given her, and she was learning to use it. She called me on the phone one day and asked me how to do something. I told her to take the mouse and right-click it on the screen and then tell me when she was done. Well, I waited and waited, wondering what was taking so long. So I said, "Did you right-click on the screen?" And she said, "I'm still working on it. C-L-I-C-K. She never did get the hang of the thing. Thus, all of her books and columns were written out longhand to be typed by others all of her life. I wrote a little story about her when she began writing for the newspaper. It said, "Margarita, she's a one-woman band who's played every part. Age doesn't stop her, nor do infirmities deter her, because her faith and positive attitude keep her moving forward. She sees the rainbow in every storm and usually finds a pot of gold, too. For years, she's been a pillar, but has recently become a column." 2 years ago, Margaret received the Spirit of Fredonia Award for her lifetime of community service from the Chamber. She was honored along with other business people with a dinner at the White Inn. Even then, with portable oxygen and tubes in tow, she maintained her sense of humor when I walked her to the podium. As I held her tubes and tank, she said, "I feel like a dog being let on a leash." So I turned around and said, "Come on, little puppy." When I visited her at the county home, I took her for short walks outside in the wheelchair a few times. Her favorite part was to sit with her face lifted to the sun like she used to do on the porch when she lived home. She had good days and bad days, but she always knew me, and most of the time she knew other people. She'd point out residents in the dining hall and then tell me their names and say she used to come to the salon, or I used to do her hair. One day, a group of residents were sitting in wheelchairs in the hall. A woman commented that she needed her hair done. As frail as Margaret was right then, she tried to stand up and said, "I can help with that." One evening, when I was pushing her out of the dining hall, she had me stop along the way so she could tell men and women to have a good day or have a good life. Margaret Malone had a good life, and she will be missed, but she was ready to go. Margaret often ended her columns or said goodbye by saying, "Have a good day," or "Have a good life." Her final goodbye wish to you is that you have a great eternity too.
I'm going to ask you to stand and join me again in another song. This one is one that Margaret especially wanted us to sing together. "Make Me a Blessing." It's number 670 in your hymnal.
Oh, Savior, I pray.
seated. I couldn't help but think of Margaret and the stories I've heard about her as we sang that song. She was truly a blessing to so many people. And I know that was her prayer every morning, that the Lord would make her a blessing to others. Her life was meant and lived for others, not for herself. Margaret Vallone died at the Chautauqua Nursing and Rehabilitation Center on December 31st, 2017. She was born in Fredonia on June 28th, 1925, to Giacomo Leone and Mary Grace Christina Leone. Her parents had 8 children. All except Josephine and Margaret were born in Italy. Of her siblings, only Josephine survives. Margaret used to say, "I was born in Fredonia, and I'm going to die in Fredonia." She loved the town of Fredonia so much and contributed so much to the community. Margaret and her husband Russell had 2 sons, Russell, who was killed in 1978, and Daniel Vallone of St. Augustine. Margaret's 2 granddaughters are Charlene Brownson and Laurie Cantrell. Charlene and Charles have a son, Liam. After Margaret's son, Rusty, passed away, Barbara married the Reverend Thomas Knickerbocker, and they have 3 children, Charity, Luke, and Catherine. Margaret called Tom her son in love, and she loved all of her children and her grandchildren as her own. They gave her so much joy. I haven't been here in Dunkirk very long, just since this past fall, so I don't have the history with Margaret that all of you do. I just got to meet her at the end. I did get to know her a little bit as I got to read her articles in The Observer. I especially appreciated Gregory Bacon's recent article as he talked about Margaret opening up her home for spaghetti dinners to the college students, her great hospitality, and her love for people. And I'm sad I missed out on that. Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul was writing near the end of his own life, and he said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To die is gain? How can that be? When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, the circumstances in his own life were not ideal. He was in prison. He was under house arrest in Rome. He was physically chained to a Roman soldier day and night as his guard. Paul was a prisoner, and yet throughout this book, throughout this letter, you hear shouts of triumph. It's filled with the word joy and rejoicing. The Apostle Paul did not let his circumstances, did not let the things that happened in his life determine the direction and the focus of his life. That's true of Margaret as well. She went through a number of difficulties in her life. She lost most of her family members and losing a son, gaining more family, and her health at the end, being in a place where she couldn't jump up and cut someone's hair, must have been so difficult for her because she wanted to serve, she wanted to do for others. But she didn't let that keep her down. Living as followers of Jesus Christ means imitating his example in the way we act and even in the way we think, no matter what our circumstances might be. Our lives need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Margaret lived these last few years almost like a prisoner, like Paul, but it was to her infirmities. She was fighting illnesses, but she didn't complain about that. She kept on living her life. She continued to show joy and enjoy talking to friends and family as they came to visit. Margaret trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior by faith alone. And it was so touching for me to hear from Barbara yesterday the story about Margaret coming to faith and about the family coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and how that had a ripple effect through family and friends. That joy spilled over to others. Margaret didn't have to come up with a plan of how can I share my faith. It just spilled out of her. And that's the way it's meant to be. She was an active member of First Baptist Church. She joined this church a number of years ago. And this church family became an extension of her big family, which was not just Fredonia and Dunkirk, but spread out around the country. Her faith was central to her life. People were important to Margaret because she cared about them and she cared about their place in eternity. To those who do not believe in God, life on earth is really all there is. For an unbeliever, it's natural to strive for the world's values, money, popularity, prestige, power. Those were not Margaret's values. Living for the Christian is different, and so is dying. To die is gain. But what do we gain? First of all, we gain a better body. Philippians 3:20-21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." In this present body of clay, we are subject to the sorrows and tears of life. Age, sickness, and finally death are inevitable. They're the end to this house that we call our body here on earth. But in death and in resurrection, we gain a better body. We gain an eternal body, one that can never grow old. It will never know disease. It will never suffer pain, and it will never die. We gain a better body. We also gain a better home. Whatever beauty embellishments of any house we may possess in this world, it's nothing compared to the mansion in the beautiful city of God that awaits for us. Jesus wanted to comfort His disciples as He was preparing to leave them. He knew that His death was coming. He knew He was headed for heaven. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, or when I go, and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus said, "I will be coming back for you, and I'll be bringing you to a better home." We also gain a better inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3-5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Our reward is not here. It's in heaven. The things we do here on earth, serving others, serving God, there are rewards in heaven. And Margaret's life was full of serving others. She has great rewards waiting for her, and she's enjoying them now in heaven. We gain a better inheritance. We gain a better fellowship. On this earth, we live in a world of dissolving family circles. And as we grow older, we see loved ones going on ahead of us, and there are less and less in our family. A mother is gone. A beloved grandmother is gone. A cherished great-grandmother is gone. A good friend is gone. But the circle is unbroken in heaven forever and ever. Margaret will be reunited with loved ones. She already has been now, and she will again. In the very last book of the Bible, Revelation 21:4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have gone away." The best fellowship that we could ever imagine is with Jesus waiting for us, and Margaret has attained that already. "If for me to live is Christ, then to die is gain." That's what the Apostle Paul said. "If for me to live is all about money, then to die will be loss." If for me to live is self, then to die is loss. If for me to live is ambition, then to die is loss. If for me to live is to sin, then to die is loss. If my life is in Jesus Christ and I've been saved by him, then truly to die is gain. I don't know all of you. Some of you I'm just meeting for the very first time. But there may be some of you this morning that haven't given much thought to your eternal future. Do you know what it means to be in Christ? You maybe know who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God. But have you asked yourself, where will I go when I leave this earth? Has nothing to do with religion. Has nothing to do with being a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian. Doesn't have to do with being a good person. The Bible tells us that there's nothing that we could possibly do to earn our way into heaven. No one else can pray you in or wish you in. The Bible says everyone will stand before God and give an account for how they responded to the Lord Jesus Christ while still here on earth. This is our opportunity to recognize him as our Lord and Savior. Knowing and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior is the only way to gain all of these promises that you heard in God's word this morning. 1 John 5:12 to 13. Whoever has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. God never meant us to go through this life hoping and wondering and wishing that someday we might make it to heaven. God says, I want you to know that you have a place for me, that you have a place waiting for you, that I will be waiting there for you. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something we each personally have to do. We have to ask Christ to forgive us for our sins and to trust that as Jesus died on the cross, as he rose again, he offers eternal life to all who would believe. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's nothing else after that. Calling out to him as your Savior. Call on Jesus today. You will not only gain a future, but you will find a new life with meaning, purpose, and peace in the midst of any circumstance. You're welcome to talk to me after the service this morning if that's something that you'd like to do. Please stand with me as we close with hymn 343, Amazing Grace. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. And then if you would stay standing, I will close in prayer. Please bow your heads with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for the wonderful, full life of Margaret Vallone. We thank you for all of the lives that she touched and the dear memories that she left. And now, Father, we ask that you comfort the family members and friends that have gathered here. Help us to remember how precious is the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for Margaret Vallone. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning as we celebrated Margaret's life. The church has prepared a lunch, and we would love for you all to stay. That is downstairs in our fellowship hall. If the family wants to stay for a few moments here, you're welcome to. And then if you just head down all the way down the ramp, which was by the front door, there's a fellowship hall down there, and we would welcome you all to join us there for lunch. Thank you so much.